May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So my name's Emily Hilquist Davis, and I'm the vicar of St. Thomas Deaf Church. And about 143 years ago, in 1876, a deaf Episcopal missionary traveled from Ohio through Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and eventually here to this very building, inviting the deaf in towns and cities along the way to gather to experience the Holy Scriptures in their own language. Eventually, after Austin Mann became a priest, he was able to lift up not only the Scriptures, but also the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, marriage, lift them up off the page and convey them face to face, eye to eye, heart to heart, pushing books aside to interact with people the way Jesus did. Today, our little deaf church is coming here at the 10 o'clock service, and we'll be inviting the congregation also to pray with your eyes open, to worship with mind, heart, soul, and strength, to put down the bulletin and use your body and your soul for your worship. Today, Luke tells us, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. The region between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus was on the border, at a border town. Now, was he in the center of town, in the marketplace? No. He was just about to enter. He was on the outskirts of the town, the far edge of the town, on the way to Jerusalem, heading closer and closer to confrontation and conflict, closer and closer, he knew, to pain, to death. But do you think that Jesus was wrapped up in himself? Do you think he kept his eyes shut? No, on the border, on the outskirts, on the margin, Jesus keeps his eyes, his ears, his heart open. And those lepers, those people who had been pushed out, Jesus sees them. He doesn't run away. He doesn't block them out. Two scholars named Bruce Molina and Richard Rohrbaugh have written a social science commentary on the Gospels. And those scholars say that leprosy referred to various diseases of the skin. And they cite rules from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, especially that rule book, Leviticus, saying that lepers should be put out of the camp or the town, that they should wear torn clothes and let their hair hang loose and yell out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn anyone who approached them. And if their disease healed, they were required to show themselves to a priest, to go through a series of ritual washings, and then observe a 7-day period of probation before they could be certified clean and return to the community. But these poor lepers in the story today have heard the rumors that that man, Jesus, has the power. They call him Master, Lord, and they say, "Have mercy on us." And if I were signing this, I was trying to figure out what's the best way to sign "Have mercy." And I learned that the sign for mercy is also the sign you use to say, "Poor you." I'm like, you know, maybe they're not saying "have mercy on us." What if they're just saying, "Help us, help us"? And he responds. He responds interestingly here. He pushes them into the healing process. This isn't a snap healing today. They have to start moving. before they are healed. So part of the story is about them initiating the process of being accepted back and reintegrated into the community. Jesus encourages them, and as they take those next steps, they are healed. And although Jesus specifically instructs them to go to the priests, one, overjoyed at his healing, turns back and runs back to thank Jesus. Why only one? Jesus asks. Well, my answer, I suspect it's because he is the Samaritan. He was doubly excluded. So excluded on the one hand because of being a leper, and excluded on the other because he's not Jewish. What's he supposed to do when he gets up to those priests? Does he expect them to even look at him? Now, I have to tell you that deaf people are pretty wary of healing stories, in my experience. I've been with them for 12 years, so what do I know? Just a little, I'm scratching the surface. But deaf folks have a reason to be wary of healing stories, because so many of them have experiences of the whole family trying to pray them well. Or a woman I knew, her grandfather paid for her to take a flight in an airplane a long, long time ago, hoping that being up at those altitudes would fix her ears. You know, and so pray and pray as their whole family might have, they're still deaf. And they come to find out that it's not so bad. So what? We're deaf. But they can definitely identify with being excluded. Helen Keller, who was both deaf and blind, said, "Blindness separates you from objects, but deafness separates you from people." And can you imagine someone in my parish had the experience of being at work one day and looking out of his office building, his office window, and realizing that everybody who works in his office was outside on the grass, and going to the window and opening it and learning that the fire alarm had gone off and nobody thought to tell him. It wasn't just a drill, it was a fire alarm. Or imagine a girl about 13 who one day her parents say, "Pack all your stuff," and they drive her and leave her somewhere. They were taking her to the deaf school, but they didn't tell her. She didn't know. She was just dropped at this institute. A lot of families, it turns out, with my parishioners, and things are changing in a lot of ways for the deaf community, but a lot of families don't learn sign language, and a lot of them have been taught to be scared of learning sign language because they don't want to lose their children, you know, and they don't want to give up on the hope that their children learn to speak and learn to function in the hearing society. And so the families don't learn how to communicate optimally. But it means that the deaf person is often the only deaf person in the family and often left out. So something's going on and they miss it. And they say, "Hey, what happened? Why is everybody laughing?" And someone says, "Oh, never mind. Never mind." It's the worst word. One time we had a program with the church a couple years back. It was Holy Week. And one of the questions we talked to people about was, "What is the cross you bear?" And one woman got up and she said, "The cross I bear? Well, it's not being deaf. We've kind of figured that out. The cross we bear is hearing people, that they find out that we're deaf and then they don't help." It's that people say, "Oh, you're deaf, do you read lips? Fine." And then they go on and they talk and they turn their back and they write on the wall, you know, on the chalkboard. Or It's just that hearing people keep forgetting again and again, or we find that it's expensive to provide interpreters, or we just forget that we're having such a good conversation, and it's one of those never mind moments. Oh, sorry, never mind. We'll behave now. You know, we'll stop having our conversations. And then there's this weird thing about even when you're using sign language, it's the question of how to use them. So there's ASL, American Sign Language, which really is a language of itself, of its own. And then there's signed English, which is, it would be like I am speaking Spanish, and I would say that by saying, yo soy hablando español. But that's not anything that a Spanish speaker would say, you know? And so we think we're speaking Spanish, but really we're not. And so we think we're signing sign language, but really we're just signing English words, and deaf people are doing the work for us, figuring out what we're trying to say, and maybe not. Maybe it's not that clear. But what I thought about deaf people and this Samaritan leper is that deaf people experience a double exclusion. One is the exclusion being forgotten by hearing communities and left out. And the other one is there's an exclusion in the deaf community, because there's deaf people who have grown up, really discouraged from signing. And so they're very oral. And deaf people who have embraced their deaf culture look down on those deaf people who haven't. And deaf people who can hear and function well in hearing societies often look down on deaf people who don't. And there's just a bunch of exclusion going on, and it's very lonely. But double exclusion is the reason why I think that the Samaritan gave up on the people and turned back to Jesus. Yes, being full of thanksgiving and gratitude toward God. All 10 went off to do what Jesus said. All 10 intended to follow the instructions, but only one turned back and got the most out of the experience. In the Greek, Luke gives us a progression of healing words. So it says, as they were on their way to the priests, the 10 were cleansed. And then the one noticed that he was healed. And then in the end, when he comes back to Jesus, Jesus tells him, your faith has made you well. The word used there is sozo. It is savior. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. And I had a question once from a new deaf parishioner who came in, and she says, well, how do you sign saved? And the question is interesting to me, because I'm trying to figure out how do you sign things. When I started working in the deaf church, deaf Episcopalians gave me the sign saved, like this. But it's the same sign as safe or delivered. It covers a lot of things. If you do it huge, it looks awesome and powerful, which I love to do it huge and awesome and powerful because it's big. But some of the evangelical churches, it's much more personal relationship between you and Jesus, and it's to take a cross to your heart. I'm saved. But I've started signing a different thing for that, because I think that again and again in the Gospels, when Jesus saves somebody, it's about this. It's their squished dignity, their squished humanity is boosted up, that they know inside that they are whole, that they are beloved, that they are worthy. And I think that this is a worthy sign for saved. So That's what I find in the final verse of the epistle reading from 2 Timothy today. It's the book of 2 Timothy, these two letters to Timothy are cute because they're so encouraging. And the advice to Timothy is, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. And let me tell you how hard it is to interpret any letter of Paul or any of the New Testament. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. So if I were putting it into sign language, I would say something like, Timothy, hey Timothy, do your best. Show up in God's presence unashamed, trusting that he approves of you, or maybe God's giving you the thumbs up. And you can tell it, trusting that he approves of you and that you can tell it straight and directly communicate God's word of truth. But imagine that you show up in God's presence, trusting that God approves of you, that God loves you. That's what the leper did when he came back to Jesus. He found out his faith had made him whole. So, let's see here. Here's the end of the sermon that I have for when my deaf church group here is that we at Little St. Thomas Deaf Episcopal Church that worshiped in Bowfinger Chapel for 126 years, I guess. I don't know the history of the building exactly, but I know it was here our whole time. That we are coming back today, one of few who have passed, one of many who have passed through your doors, that we are coming back to give thanks to you, the cathedral, and that all of us together in the great Thanksgiving, the Eucharist, all of us are coming back to give thanks at the altar. Every Sunday, we come to Jesus, dragging ourselves and others, I hope, dragging ourselves in from the edges, full of thanksgiving. We gather reintegrated, redignified, and we come to the table. We are the few who are returning to give thanks, and in that thanking, we are made whole. Amen.